Isn't this a sports show?
Clinton has said accurately, I might add, on the Facebook page. Almost entirely sports. A show where Josh reads all of his tweets. And I have no counter-argument to that. That is true and fair.
Almost entirely.
Excuse me. I'm talent. I'm talent, sir. Unhand me.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I am Joshua Briscoe. Rudy with the reverse slam. Beard with a judgmental gaze. What's up, Beards? How you doing?
I'm here.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
Is this the most important thing I could be talking about? Well, I mean, probably not. Debatable.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I was going to say that I'm not 100% sure where we're going to start the show today and where we're going to navigate for this first hour for a whole variety of pretty obvious reasons. And then, right before I was going to say that, I got a slight hiccup. And right now, I'm just kind of doing the thing where you try to freeze your diaphragm in place to avoid the hiccups from stacking atop each other, because that would be an extremely unfortunate way for today's show to begin, for any show to ever go. I would not wish the live radio hiccups on my worst radio enemies, of which there are many. It's everyone who's not me, including Beards and Rudy, which honestly, once you understand that, really explains the dynamic that we occasionally dip into, where we're all just rivals with each other. We needle Beards about Cyberpunk. Jamal Murray gets hurt. Eventually Devin Booker's sons are going to disappoint me. Do you know he has sons? That's just the whole vibe. That's just the whole way this show functions, I think. It's a very hostile work environment around here sometimes. That's mostly not true. It's always reasonable for me to start any sentence like this with "I think," because it sounds like I'm in control of it, and I'm not going to be. I think we're mostly going to talk like NFL draft, and then maybe I still need help understanding the Super League that I thought
there's no Super League.
Yesterday I thought we would eventually talk about the Super League, but if we didn't get to it, we would get to it today.
Never existed.
Then today it gets to the point where we're now talking about the Super League in past tense.
Maybe the real Super League was the super friends we made along the way.
You stole that from Twitter?
No, I thought of that all on my own.
More like super enemies.
More like
people are not happy.
Super Twitter. Because I definitely saw that tweet on Twitter. Beards. And it wasn't from you. We'll talk about all of that. I've got some very sort of hyper-specific things I think will intrigue this show. I want to make fun of Chris Sims. I want to play some Chiefs audio that we didn't get to yesterday. There's a bunch of just sort of little nonsense things that we'll talk about today that I think will be fun. And also, like, there is a genuinely massive story at the forefront of all things across the world right now that has obviously been intertwined within the sports world with the conviction on all three charges against Derek Chauvin, who killed George Floyd and sparked all of the various racial justice movements we saw over the course of this summer. Really last summer, I guess, since it's been going on now for, you know, this sort of version of it has essentially been kind of rejuvenated over the course of this last year or so, with that being kind of the inciting incident. Plenty of others that could have done it, but in terms of grasping the nation and the world, and also the sports world, that's the inciting incident for what ended up following the Black Lives Matter movement, and honestly how it changed in terms of how America saw it, which is extremely interesting, and personally, if I may, I think has been for the better and will hopefully continue to be creating positive changes. I also am not going to go through the conviction like a box score today, because that's even above my head. And what I really want to do is find some amount of solace in, you know, there being a being consequences for a murder, which I think is probably, we've agreed as a society, something we generally want to have happen. And I want to hope that the people who are going through the most distress and sadness over the course of this day, this week, these months, this year, are getting some amount of peace or closure or hope today. Also acknowledging that it's by no means some grand, this is not some grand celebration, I don't think, for pretty much anybody, because every step of it continues to be sad and frustrating. And also, I really want to make fun of the Raiders. I really want to make fun of the Raiders. But it's all difficult and complicated and heavy, and we've done a lot of that over the last year or so. I will say we haven't seen or heard anything from the Chiefs or the Royals in terms of like a statement. You might say, Josh, do they have to put out a statement? No, but lots of teams have. The Broncos put out one that I thought was, all things considered, pretty good. And then the Raiders put out one that just said, I can breathe, in the Raiders font. And then underneath it had today's date, which happens to be 420, which, if you don't know, that is also the weed number. So it says, I can breathe 4-20-21. And literally, it's been, I guess, I'm imagining it's still up. I should double check.
It is.
Oh, boy.
Is this going to be the next isGrudenGoneYet.com?
Is this tweet still up? Right now, it has 14,000 likes, 19,000 responses, and 46,500 retweets or quote tweets. And Twitter around that right now has been something. And while I think there are a number of times when I kind of wish that our local franchises in the area would have been on the forefront of some more of the movements, and not just letting the players be the ones that dictate that, but putting their support up behind them sort of almost proactively. I also do think there's something to be said for not just putting out a tweet with three words and the date and a Raiders logo at the bottom. Whatever, you really don't have anything to say. You don't have to work that hard to say it, which I think is also probably going to be where we wind up tonight. Where I don't know if I have anything else to say. I might circle back on one other thing in a second. But I don't know. Like, clearly, for sure, a couple of white people high-fived immediately after putting that tweet out on the Raiders social media. Like, that's non-negotiable.
I think it was probably more of a fist bump.
I don't. I think it was a crisp high five, or they matched elbows.
I think the moment, they would probably know that the moment, hey, it's like, this is not a high five moment. This is like, hey, a fist bump. Like, we made the world a better place.
That, you know what? Fair enough. And then the credits start rolling, yeah, and the music plays. Yep. And yeah, all right, fair
like,
enough.
Like, we just made the world. The world is a better place today because of us. Because
we use our platform to say, I get nothing really.
Good job.
But
guys,
kind of something.
Just like little, and you know what? Maybe a little round of applause. You know, like when a spaceship successfully lands, she's like, good job, guys. We did it. Or you draft that guy in the first round, you know, after your pick, you just, good job, guys. We did it.
I think that's pretty good, actually. I think that's probably, yeah, there's a war room,
yeah,
for the social media
now,
team.
Now, two guys within the process of clapping definitely, you know, stopped and fist bumped,
yeah,
in the process of the clapping. But it starts off as a clap. Two guys fist bump. One of them does the explosion with the hands, like, you know, like after you do the fist bump. I think that's how that scene went down.
I can't remember exactly. If anyone is questioning now, why is this bad? I think most people probably can. I think you get a little bit of a, ooh, no, that's not it kind of filter. But some people don't necessarily have that. I saw somebody on Twitter was basically asked that question, and they responded with something along the lines of, like, you can be supportive and encouraging and kind of alongside what you think is right without it being performative and self-congratulatory and kind of stuffy and also kind of weirdly, I don't know, man, kind of weirdly like deprecating. I know that usually goes with the word self, but so this isn't self-deprecating. It's just sort of, it's kind of corny. I don't know, man. It's a tough. The first time I saw it, I thought, that's probably not real, right? And then I found that it was real. Here's the real stinker on this one. Not only is that tweet still up after like 90 minutes, that is still their pinned tweet. That is their pinned tweet. Not a good look. No, I mean, it's just not a good tweet. I don't know. Eventually,
double
they're
down.
Gonna. Oh,
so I mean, it's just double down, I guess. You know, it's just
they're gonna unpin it just to repin it. They're gonna tweet it again in a different font,
it.
Comic Sans or something.
If tomorrow morning they just like retweeted that tweet, whew.
Would be powerful. Tomorrow they do it again. They just change it from 4/20/21 to 4/21/21. They just tweet that
or
out
it's
every
just,
day.
It's a quote tweet hashtag. Never forget.
Man, it's tough, dude. Here's the one other thing, I guess. And I think this is going to go to a story that's outrageously sad and is going to make everybody's day worse. I also just tweeted about it. So if you want to read the story, it's up on my Twitter account. The reason that tweet from the Raiders saying I can breathe is immediately, I'll take a chuckle where we can get it, and right now we're taking it at the Raiders' expense, but there's also a serious reason that doesn't track right now. There is a story that I saw a few minutes before the show, and in Columbus is a story from the Daily Beast, if you can see it there. I haven't looked to find it other places yet. But from the Daily Beast, the story is that police shot and killed Micaiah Bryant, a 15-year-old black girl in Columbus, Ohio, just as the verdict was being read in the Derek Chauvin murder trial. And the snippet from that says, according to Bryant, Micaiah called the police because someone in her house was abusing her. She went on to say that police saw a knife on the ground near Micaiah and shot the teenager 4 times. And you go, wow, Josh, that really was a very dark, very serious turn. Why did you have to do that from the Raiders' bad tweet? It really puts a bad taste in my mouth to go sort of celebratory this way today. Because I think you can be glad that, I guess if this is your opinion on it, that accountability came from the George Floyd tragedy, which it still is. He's still dead. This police officer is going to go to prison for a very long time. Like, there's nothing. There's not really a happy. There's no fairy tale anywhere in this, right? But on the larger picture here, Chauvin was on trial today, not tragic police shootings or police brutality or systemic racism or whatever. Like, it kind of felt that way at some points because George Floyd became over time sort of an avatar for the larger conversations we were being confronted with over the course of the last year or so, bringing that into having sort of a new civil rights movement conversation, whatever, over this last year and change. But putting a guy in prison for a killing that we all saw on tape for nearly 10 minutes isn't a jumping off point for what will ultimately be a very memeable tweet.
So Tashawn Reed, who covers the Raiders for The Athletic, has tweeted that owner Mark Davis said the I can breathe wording came from George Floyd's brother, Philonise, who said, "Today we are able to breathe again." Davis added, "If I offended the family, then I'm deeply, deeply disappointed." He also said the post won't be deleted.
That's fine. I think there's a lot better to be outraged by.
It's not the worst thing.
No, that's good context.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
I saw the tweet pop up, and it's, again, like, here's the thing. Is it the worst thing that happened today? Not at all.
No.
But have worse things been tweeted today?
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot.
The Mark Davis doubling down. Hey, like, and like, there's so, okay, like he explains the thought process, right? And there's the family can
sure.
You know, breathing.
They can say, okay. And they can say that. And if you want to put out a statement and quote, that's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, yeah. It's
but,
like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And then being like, hey, we apologize if we offend anybody. Okay.
Yeah.
We're not going to take the tweet down.
Yeah, okay. You could just put out the tweet down and then put that out in a statement and say, hey, here's where our head was at.
Yeah.
The Raiders will get dunked on, and that will move on, and that will all be fine.
Yeah.
Especially if Mark Davis was involved in that, I hope whatever social media intern that has been wanting to delete that tweet for an hour and a half, I hope they have a perfectly fine.
Mark Davis actually changed the password.
That also might make sense.
He only has it.
It's still really it's a tough Tashaun Reed who tweeted that out. It also has a series of tweets from the last hour and change. Do you remember the Florida State tweet from Martin Luther King Jr. Day 2019?
Vaguely.
I just clicked on it.
So I'm pulling it up now.
It was from Seminoles Recruiting. Happy MLK Day. And then a big graphic, it says do something with Martin Luther King, like putting his hand out, like waving. They photoshopped a Florida State Nike glove onto his hand. And, like, it's got a quote and every.
Not the worst thing that was tweeted that day, I'm sure, but, like.
No,
it's just like.
You think that their heart was probably in the right place.
For sure.
But also, you don't really have to brand watermark your statement about police brutality or your quoting of Martin Luther King Jr. Not everything needs.
The
immaculate
thing,
branding.
The thing that always gets me with that is, and in some of these cases, that you know, I think working in college athletics is a lot different than professional athletics.
Sure.
Working in college athletics when I was young in college, learning like how frequently how few people actually see what goes into tweets. Like a lot of times, it is just a single person.
Yeah.
A single person is sending out tweets, and it's not like this goes through multiple people. I feel pretty confident that not just one person was involved with the Raiders tweet, just like I'm pretty confident not just one person was involved with the Florida State tweet, because in general,
somebody had to Photoshop it.
Those are bigger, you know what I mean? It's not like,
and
it's
processes,
and just moments,
yeah.
too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it's not like, hey, we won 28-17, yay. Like, nobody needs to really double check that, like, right? Like, you don't have to go up the ladder on the, hey, can I tweet the final score? No, just like the person in charge does that.
Today I tweeted out that we were going to talk to Seth tonight, which we will in about 40 minutes, about his tackle rankings. And then I imagine Allie retweeted it from the 810 account.
Yeah.
No, she didn't have to go get permission on that front.
There's no communication.
No.
I feel pretty confident in this. At least
somebody had to see it.
Talked about this.
Somebody had to see
ahead
it.
Of time. Like knowing that. Because honestly, here's the thing. They probably started planning this out a couple days ago, I would think. Like, hey, we think the verdict, you know, or honestly, maybe even longer. Like, when the verdict comes.
I don't think there was a lot of
blank,
thought behind it. On this one? On some of the teams that put out statements, maybe. On that Raiders one, I don't know.
Here's the thing. My point being, that's the thing that surprised me is I think multiple people thought about this and thought it was a good idea.
That's fair.
And, like, that's the part that always is, like, the biggest surprise. It's not one person, right? Because, like, we all have bad ideas. But it's then multiple people in a department being like, you know what?
Somebody needs.
This is good.
Because you're.
This is good.
It's such a good point, Rudy.
Run with this.
Everybody has bad ideas.
Yeah.
Everybody has bad ideas.
I've had plenty. Plenty.
What you need is not that you have to never have a bad idea. But you need someone around you to say, hey, I think this one's a bad idea. You got to have somebody honest. You have to have somebody. If it was Mark Davis, you know, who's going to tell Mark Davis you think that tweet's a bad idea? You know, I don't know. But I appreciate that the Raiders ended up sort of accidentally giving us some fodder for the group chat, you know, to take a chuckle where you could get it because it's just pretty tone deaf, but it's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of very bad happening all at once.
And not to like completely like change subjects or anything, but I just have to inform you of more news. Beards has checked out for at least 15 minutes because somebody has asked him if there's a worst things tweeted Reddit. Beard says he will be doing an investigation, so he is done for a while. Just want to let you know in case you're planning on tossing the audio or anything.
I did book my head into the Raiders subreddit real quick just to see if anybody had discussed this
tweet.
Yeah,
sure.
They did.
Yeah,
I imagine. Of course, this is about the same thing that we're talking about now.
It's just tough, man. It's just a tough look. It's a tough execution. I don't know. Happy 420 Raiders Twitter account, intern. At least you're probably making the most of it. It's tough. Yeah, I don't.
This just got pointed out on the Raiders Reddit, and all. I saw this earlier as well. Another thing that might make this extremely tone deaf is the "I can breathe" was also the pro Chauvin message in T-shirts that were going out.
I think that even came up around Eric Gardner. I think that people, that's where the "I can't breathe" shirt sort of started,
right,
was Eric Gardner. And you're right, there were counter protest shirts that said "I can breathe" in the same Comic Sans, but sort of like tongue in cheek, like sarcastically. So also not great. Yeah, also not good. There was one other thing that I was going to mention, and then figured that we'd move on to something, just anything else, because I don't know. Oh, it was that I mentioned that that the Chiefs haven't put anything out, but very shortly after the verdict came down, Patrick Mahomes just tweeted out prayer hand emojis. And I think Tyrann Mathieu was like a heart and prayer hand emoji. There were a lot of emojis that did pop up at some point from various Chiefs players, but the Chiefs themselves did not make a statement, though a lot of NFL teams have at this point. I don't know that I've got room for my frustrated, disappointed energy to go at the Chiefs for not having something to say here, especially after we just spent a good 10 minutes dunking on the Raiders for doing it poorly. I would love for the Chiefs to come out and do it expertly, but pretty universally across sort of social issues, the Chiefs would like to be the 16th team to put out something when they know that everyone else is on the way. I think that was around, I think it might have been like at the time of George Floyd being killed, like in that week thereafter. There may have been something about voting rights as well, where like a lot of teams are putting out statements, and then eventually the Chiefs did. I don't think it's unfair at all to say that they, from a PR standpoint, do not want to be leaders, and they do not want to be seen as followers, but that does mean following after it gets kind of cleared out in the front. So,
which like might be, if I'm a purely
from
business,
a PR,
yeah,
from a PR
yeah,
strategy,
like probably the right call.
Sure.
Obviously, you would maybe it's a case of letting the players kind of lead the front, but you know, at the very least, my guess is that's kind of what they'll fall behind at the very least, in terms of, hey, we let our players, like, we don't necessarily be the first out send statement because our players are out there sending statements.
The thing about that is that it is sort of using your players as a bit of a meat shield. And also, with the exception of Patrick Mahomes, almost no players in football have more power than their team does.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes essentially has as much power as the Chiefs do, because that is a mutually locked-in relationship there. But, you know, like, I think actually, now that I'm thinking about it, Juan Thornhill was one of the first people that I saw tweet, one of the first Chiefs players that I saw tweet after the verdict came down. If Juan Thornhill tweeted out something the Chiefs really didn't like, Juan Thornhill's tweet would come down. In reality, and again, throughout like all of the voting rights stuff, the Chiefs essentially let Mahomes and Mathieu on the Black Lives Matter video and on the voting rights stuff, the Chiefs let those guys lead, and they did follow with a decent amount of support. I don't think, again, that's, I'm not like reaching for a roast here or anything, but I also wouldn't hate it for Clark Hunt to put out a statement with his name on it that has some sort of strength behind it. But he's not to. I don't expect him to. Because we got a decent feel on that, right? Like, everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Speaking on what Beards mentioned earlier, but Raiders Reddit, Tashaun Reed has now also tweeted that Davis said that he wasn't aware that the NYPD supporters wore I Can Breathe shirts following the 2014 killing of Eric Gardner. After I brought that up to him, he said, "I learned something. I have to do a little bit more research into that just so I can speak coherently on that aspect."
True.
More from Davis. "Let me say this right off the bat. I was not aware of that. Absolutely not. I had no idea that That's a situation that I was not aware of. Mm-hmm. I can see where there could be some negativity towards what I said based on that.
Totally. I believe that he didn't know about that. Mm-hmm. I believe that he is going to go learn about that. Also, it's still there, pinned tweet. So
he did say he wasn't going to take it down.
It's just still there, pinned tweet is all. That's just sort of, I think, for me, it is still their pinned tweet, in case anybody was wondering. All right, we'll take a break. Unless something else happens, I think that's what we've got for today on the Chauvin trial, on the Raiders' bad tweet, on where the Chiefs are at, on all of those. I think that's what I got today. Something else pops up, I guess I'll turn back on that. But I think that's what we got.
Unless Mark Davis says more stuff.
Which is totally possible. And if he doesn't, I'm going to, I guess, probably come back and ask Rudy to explain a soccer thing to me. So, and then we're going to do very, very, very serious offensive tackle draft class breakdown with Seth in 30 minutes. So this show, it's the buffet. This is the buffet day of the show. Yeah. We're going to just cover a lot of ground in a lot of different places. And eventually, I don't know if you can see it on the video feed, but we got a big brown box that we're going to open. And once that time actually gets here, it is a big, heavy box. Once that time actually gets here, it's going to make today's show even more ridiculous and make all of this even more awkward. If you're still around in 2 hours, you'll see. But there's that. If you want to go read that story I talked about earlier, I retweeted it a little bit ago. It sucks. It's heartbreaking. Bad radio throw. Not a tease, bad radio throw. Awkward segment. That seems right.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
A genuinely emotional, touching moment completely undercut by the sloppy way we got there.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Couple of things really quickly here. One, a highlighted message on the Twitch chat from Literally Gaming saying, in all seriousness, this is an important conversation. I'm glad you're having it. Thank you. It's a good reference. Made me laugh. Also, from Literally Gaming, bet there's a lot of top shots in this box. Not true.
I wish.
Not true. This box is, in fact, fungible. We'll open that later. There's all that. Also, there's a Facebook comment, which is always a phrase. I apologize to if this is going to sideswipe people who watch the show on Facebook. Most of the people that you watch on Facebook have great observations and comments, and I love that you're here listening to the show. Thank you for being here. But sometimes during a break, whenever Beard says in my off air, he says there's a Facebook comment, I just sort of assume the worst sometimes. Because often the internet is the worst.
Feel the soul just... shrink a little.
Yeah, but Beards, who had the comment that you read a second ago?
It was
just first
JD.
Name is fine. JD.
JD.
JD said what?
What's in the bucket in front of Rudy?
It just made me. It was just I got whiplash from the.
I don't know if there's technically anything. Well, there's a paper towel. And some dirt.
It's a rain bucket.
It's a rain bucket.
It's a rain bucket.
Yeah. Sometimes when it rains,
it pours
a lot.
It rains in the studio.
Exactly.
Sometimes cats and dogs just fall into the studio and they go in that bucket.
Where it sometimes rains. Now, I normally just have a very, just like a cup, like a red
styrofoam
cup.
Red solo
and then
cup,
we
whatever.
Put a mic next to it and turn it up.
Yeah, right. but also, you know, because it blends in a little bit better, right? Nobody just notices the random cup. But somebody, maybe 2 weeks ago when it was
been
pouring.
That's been there for a month. I think.
I don't know if it's been quite that long, but
we can check the tape. But yeah, go ahead.
That's true. It's been a while, but at least a couple weeks when it was just like pouring when we got that big storm during the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Somebody just picked up the bucket found the bucket. I don't know if it was underneath if it's been underneath the table all the time. I don't know where it's been. Found the bucket, put it there.
Probably in the rack room.
And now the bucket just kind of lives here.
I would like to take this segment to just get it. Just everyone's gonna take a little breath. We're all gonna relax a little bit, and we're gonna do something that we can all do unified together. Okay, Beards. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm changing my mind. I'm gonna go 2-1-3 on this list. And I got some audio here from Chris Sims. Now, Chris Sims has gotten a lot of flack from a lot of people for a lot of different things, and some of it is, I think, some of it's fair. Like some of it is overreacting in terms of sort of the. Hypercritical culture that is spawned and exists through the internet. But a couple days ago, this clip made the rounds of Chris Sims having a tough time on a name of a player you might know.
sign Joe Tooney. That's great. You know, they do have a Kyle Long coming back. That could help out. You know, Tardy Dariff. How the hell do you say his last name?
Now listen. Have I...
That's Dr. Tardy Dariff to you.
Tardy Dariff.
Have I mispronunciated some names? Of course. Mm-hmm. Did I trip over a name during baseball tonight, earlier tonight, reading the Rays lineup? You're damn right I did.
I didn't know his name was LTD.
Did you do that on purpose?
Yes.
Okay.
Tardy Dariff.
Oh, Tardy Dariff. All right, good point. Yeah, all right, fair enough, Beard. It's a good call. I've missed some names, right?
Yeah.
But at one point last year, Tardy Dariff was the biggest name in the sport for like a news cycle. Because he was the first guy to opt out. He was opting out to go fight the COVID pandemic. Everybody was talking about Dr. Tardy Dariff.
Mm-hmm.
Can I hear it again, Beards?
Tardy Dariff.
We all screw up names. I didn't even play that at the time because, you know, Pobody's nerfed. Including Crim Sis. Crim Sims.
Tardy Dariff.
Pobody's nerfed. But then these two clips came. And these two clips fill my heart with joy and happiness and joy and sadness and joy. In that order. We're going to get two clips here. One is Chris Sims. This is in the same show. I believe it may have been in the same segment of
like
Pro Football Talk.
Mm-hmm.
They're wearing the same clothes. It's definitely the same show. I believe this is all around a conversation in the Philadelphia Eagles front office about analytics. And I don't know how they got to the one you'll hear in point three. But these next two clips, all on the same show. And Chris Sims had some thoughts about analytics that I just think is really going to advance our conversations.
And we never hear when the analytics were proven wrong. That's the other thing, too. Hey, you didn't make the right decision. It didn't work out. The analytics said you should have done this. How about the analytics said they should have done this, and I did that, and it worked out? How about we never hear about that side of the story? But, I mean, come on. I get sick of the analytics discussion sometimes. I don't even know where I'm going with it. I'm sorry.
Beards, how quickly can you find the video of that kid talking about his dream?
Oh, I think I have that saved in my
folder. It's in the system somewhere.
I think I have it saved.
Because I remember crossing it with something. Hopefully you don't have that version, but if that's the only version you have, you know what? I'll take it. Because that's who Chris Sims turned into there. Let me say a couple things really quick as a serious, actual counterpoint. One, whenever the analytics, quote-unquote, whatever that means, whenever the analytics say to do something and they do the thing and it doesn't work, that's the only thing that's on radio the next day. If on Monday Night Football... If somebody comes out and says, I went for two because the analytics had to go for two and they didn't get the two, that coach, we're trying to fire that coach on Pro Football Talk Radio the next day. So that's total nonsense. Total straw man. Total nonsense. The other thing, though, is that he doesn't understand what analytics means or how they work. Because here's the thing, Rudy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you to not do a bit. I'm going to ask you to just be a good straight man here. I'm just going to ask you to answer this question the way that logically makes the most sense to you.
Okay.
Okay? You got two doors in front of you. Okay?
The bottom one.
You got two doors in front of you. Beards, you've got two doors in front of you. Okay?
I'll turn off Rudy's mic.
Which one has the tiger?
All right, back to Rudy. Rudy, you have two doors in front of you.
Yeah.
Door number one.
Yep.
There is a 75% chance if you go through that door, on the other side of that door is $1 million that belong to you.
Mm-hmm.
Door number two, go through there, 25% chance was $1 million that belongs to you. Which door are you going to go through?
Trick question?
Nope.
Left door number one. I almost said left door, but I don't actually know what if it's left or right.
You're going to go through door number one.
Door number one.
Now, is this a gross oversimplification? Sure, because there's a lot of stuff that analytics does successfully account for. And there are some things that it's very difficult to account for. It's also silly to think that actually just that your gut is going to do the proper calculations for that at the time, but whatever. Analytics means doing the thing that's going to get you success more often.
Yeah.
More often doesn't mean 100% of the time. Like, if you're having an analytics conversation within that headspace, you are waving a white flag saying you simply do not understand how this works and you don't care to understand how this works. You don't want to understand how this works and it's all for nerds. That is the stance you're taking if you go, well, but sometimes the analytics don't work. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. What are we? Have you guys ever played Settlers of Catan?
No.
Yes.
It's a great board game.
It's very good.
Let's get vaccinated and you guys come over. Let's play Settlers of Catan.
Sure. It's been a long time, but I'll play.
You've got these little.
Sorry before.
I have.
No, I'm sorry.
You get these little. You turn off both your mics. You get the little discs, and so the point of what is that face for? Can it wait?
Yeah.
You get little discs that have varying number combinations. You want to build by sixes and eights because there are more ways that two six-sided die can make a six or an eight than any number other than seven, which is not a part of the game because that's what moves the robber. We're getting kind of off track. You want to build on sixes and eights, and then if you can't, outside of that, probably fives and nines, fours and tens, because there's only one way to roll a two. There's only one way to roll a 12. Lots of ways that you can roll six, seven, eight. If you build on a cluster of sixes and eights and you don't win the game, it's not because the math wasn't right. It's just that that's the smartest place for you to build. If you build on a bunch of 11s and 12s right out of the gate, this is the nerdiest analogy I've ever brought to Sports Talk Radio. If you build on a 10, 11, and a 12 little cluster, and that's where you start, and you win the game, that does not mean you did the math right. It doesn't mean you built in the best spots strategically. You got lucky or you got unlucky. You placed your bets where you were supposed to, and it either did or didn't work out at approximately the percentage chances that you knew going into it. It's just not that hard. And so whenever you hear this, bring it to me one more time, Beards, and then we'll go back to we'll play the little kid with the dream. Whenever you hear this sort of analysis, this means I don't really know what I'm talking about, and I don't particularly care to get better at talking about it.
And we never hear when the analytics were proven wrong. That's the other thing, too. Hey, you didn't make the right decision. It didn't work out. The analytics said you should have done this. How about the analytics said they should have done this, and I did that, and it worked out? How about we never hear about that side of the story? But, I mean, come on. I get sick of the analytics discussion sometimes. I don't even know where I'm going with it. I'm sorry.
What if I go through door number two and there is the $1 million? We'll take that, analytics. All right, Beards, play it one more time.
Have you ever had a dream that you want him to do you so much you could do anything?
Tardy Dariff.
It goes on so long.
Tardy Dariff.
Beards, I'll give you the commercial break to do this. I want to play the third clip, and then I would love to just get a little mixology of those two clips. You get a whole commercial break to figure that out. Before we take a break, I do want to give Chris Sims one absolutely massive W here. The first voice you're going to hear here is Mike Florio, and the last voice you're going to hear is Chris Sims, and this clip absolutely bangs.
I don't want to get into a rant here about these long reads, but folks, nobody reads all of them. No one is reading all of them. Not even the mothers of the writers are reading every single word. I don't know why there's all the fluff and all the filler and why it has to be this grandiose sweeping thing to get people to take it seriously. We take it seriously based on what's in it, not how many words are in it. Am I wrong, Chris?
No, I mean, listen, I'm with you. I mean, it's just, didn't you just write a book, though?
Man,
got him.
How good is that?
Got him.
Nobody's reading all these long reads. You got these long reads. You got so many words. I care about the words that's in the read, and not how many words is in the read. Chris, don't you agree? Buy my book. Oh. Anyway, I did it all in that order because I wanted to make fun of Chris Sims and then completely wash away his sins with the absolute devastation that is. Yeah, I agree. But didn't you just write a book though? So anyway,
it was a good day at the office for him.
It really was. Don't buy Mike Florio's book.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Give me both of them back to back. Give me your audience and your critics score for Paul Bart Malcott.
Audience 100%, critics 99%.
Beards.
It's a masterpiece.
Paul Bart Malcott won.
Well, how did you phrase it? All the letters were there. The order was just absolutely unsalvageable.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
There's a Twitch comment here that really hit me the same way that I think it hit, let's see, who was it that said it? The Human Torch on Twitch, saying Chris Sims was hilarious when he was on Lebatard counting down his top 70 quarterbacks. Because at one point, he said
correctly
that Blake Bortles was like the 70th best quarterback in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And so he basically called in, or they called him basically every day for months so he could one ranking at a time say who each quarterback was that was better than Blake Bortles. It was a great bit, and he was correct. That was the version of Chris Sims that I knew, and then he started doing radio with Florio.
My question is how do we think he made this list? Was it just strictly film? Was he using some analytics?
Great question.
Because, honestly, I think now I need to know how that list was put together.
Great question.
Thank you.
Do you want to tell the world what it was that made you do a stank face during the last segment?
Yeah, so the Pro Football Talk, if you've ever heard of them.
Yeah, I don't believe I have.
Had basically a tweet that Adrian Peterson is looking for a contender, wants to go get a ring, he's obviously towards the end of his career, wants a ring. Tyrann Mathieu simply responded, he should come to Kansas City.
I think that's the appropriate sound.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If you sign for a veteran minimum deal, it's not like it's the worst thing in the world or anything.
Sure.
But it's just also and that's also a Royals. I was just sorry. I just watched somebody just hit a baseball off the wall. So
yeah.
There was a couple things there.
Lots of I'll give you a serious Adrian Peterson take. Yeah. Can I get a shot clock real fast?
Ooh.
Can I get 24 seconds on Adrian? I know you're spending a lot of plates back there. Hit it. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. It wouldn't be very much money. Is he better than Darrell Williams right now? I don't know. I don't think he's a better pass catcher at this point, better pass blocker on third down. I think I'd probably rather have Darrell Williams just in a vacuum like that. But also, it would probably be fine. What would be hilarious would be for him to get here, look really good behind the new interior offensive line, all of a sudden running backs. Oh, wait, hold on. Do they matter or not? Now I'm confused because Adrian Peterson's looking good running behind Joe Tooney. He was on the scrap heap. Also, the Chiefs have done that for veteran running backs now 2 years in a row.
1 out of 10.
Signing Adrian Peterson?
Yeah, what's your review? Out of 10.
The idea of signing Adrian Peterson or if they did sign Adrian Peterson?
Yes.
We really need to respect the shot clock process.
I feel like I did okay on that one. I forgot about the ranking or the rating. That part's true.
You can give your rating after the buzzer goes off. It's fine. Ball's in the air.
2 minutes after?
What am I ranking? What am I rating though, Beards? Am I rating the Chiefs
DeAndre
signing?
Just struggling to get a rebound, just keeps tapping it up and down to himself.
Am I? You gotta look at your iPad already.
Oh god!
You gotta look at your iPad really quick.
I'm a little far behind, so.
Am I rating the conversation about Adrian Peterson on the show tonight, or am I rating the Chiefs signing Adrian Peterson, or is it the likelihood of them signing Adrian Peterson?
Not the likelihood. Everything else.
Oh, boy.
Okay, 7 out of 10, 4 out of 10.
I love this Royals
2 out
defense.
Of 10. I did all 3.
Cool.
This Royals defense is
Rudy, you said that word, and I just heard static.
This Royals defense
is static.
Something.
I just hear, whenever you say that team name that starts with an R, it's like the Washington football team now. It's like that word's out of my vocabulary. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, not Washington football team, but what the Washington football team used to be named.
Correct.
Yeah.
Beards, did you come up with something for Chris Sims and the kid who has a dream?
Just a little bit. I didn't have too much time.
You only 4 minutes.
Well,
I like it when he starts to talk, but he realizes his mic isn't on.
you could hear that, couldn't you?
Yep.
Hit it, Beards.
And we never hear when the analytics were proven wrong. That's the other thing, too. Hey, you didn't make the right decision. It didn't work out. The analytics said
you
should have done this. How about the analytics said
that
they should have done this, and I did that, and it worked out. How about we never hear about that side of the story? But, I mean, come on. I get sick of the analytics discussion sometimes. I don't even know where I'm going with it. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I would have liked some more of the kid at the very end, just tacking
it
on.
Though. It's good.
It was hard to find some of those clips to fit in
Can babbling kid just take us into the break?
Yeah.
I'll talk over him. Give me the babbling kid for the last 15 seconds of this segment. Seth Kaiser will be on next.
Why is Seth on now?
We'll talk about his tackle prospect reviews. He's got 6 of them. You guys like Tevin Jenkins? Oh, baby. Do you like Tevin Jenkins?
You could do so much, you could do anything.
Seth Kaiser is next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.